are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
There you go, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show, just like the guy said. I'm Ron Van Dam. I'm the guy in the middle. That's me. You can pick me out of a lineup because I'm the tall one with the beard. That's me. Hi. I'm also the only one wearing pants. That's how you know. Ever get the feeling that in the summer when people wear these skimpy little shorts, especially guys, that they're really walking around in their underpants? It looks like that, doesn't it? It's not a pretty thing. Did you click on this by mistake by any chance? You meant to go to Amazon to buy the surgical mask? Yeah, well, you got me instead. Here's the way this is going to happen. You're going to sit in the chair and you're going to shut up, and I'm going to entertain you, and you will enjoy it. Can I offer you something? Would you like a massage by any chance? I don't do massages. I don't touch people. I never did. I don't enjoy that. I got a gift certificate for massage as a Christmas gift a couple of years ago, and to be honest with you, I didn't enjoy it. It was an hour out of my life that I'll never get back. I had to go once a month. That was part of the deal, and at the end of it, they tried to sell me a membership to their massage thing, and I said, listen, I don't really want people touching me all over the place unless, you know. There's nothing relaxing about a person wearing some type of a massage robe giving me a massage with my face down, with my head in a cushion with a hole in the middle. I feel like I'm in bondage or something. And then they're touching my back and rubbing it in places that I really don't care to be touched in. The only pleasurable part about a massage is the feet part. Some people enjoy it more than I do. I mean, it's interesting because I've never touched my feet. Nothing touches my feet. The bottoms of my shoe touch my feet, and that's not exciting at all. So when a human being touches your feet, it's like, oh, that's a different thing. Everything else, I can pretty much touch myself. I don't need you. I certainly don't have to pay you to touch the places that I can get to myself. My feet, that's a day's journey for me. I'm very tall. I have to pack a picnic lunch. It's a long way down there. When I was a kid, In school, they used to have me touch my toes. So that was the exercise. All right, everybody, bend down and touch your toes. And I couldn't do that. I mean, I'm built differently. I can't just go down there and touch my toes. It's not an easy task for me. I have to work out diagrams, and it's difficult. It's just, I need a spotter. It's not easy to, you know. The only time I touch my feet is when I'm actually putting my socks on. That's, other than that, not really, no. So that's okay in the massage thing. But again, you know, not for an extended period of time, please. Other than that, man, I found it just to be, I kept staring at the clock, you know. I turned my head every once in a while, got it out of that hole, and would look at the clock, and I thought, oh, geez, another 45 minutes. Holy crap, can we rush this thing along? I got better things to do than just lie on my stomach. I just, seriously, that's a real snore thing. Yeah, man, I'm not into them. Some people love it. They think it's so relaxing. They want to go 2 hours. 2 hours. There's nothing I want to do for 2 hours. Nothing for 2 hours. That's a long time for anything. Much less have another person touch you in a clinical manner. It's, why don't I just go have a colonoscopy and call it a day? I mean, seriously, kidding me? All right. See, that's what you're going to get when you come to a show like this. This is what I do. I've been doing this for a long time, and I just observe things and about how ridiculous they are, and you're supposed to say, hey, Ron, you're absolutely right, or hey, Ron, you're absolutely wrong, but we're, you know, we're interacting in that way. Everybody's ordering off of Amazon, and Amazon's doing very well. All the stores and the merchandisers are trying to copy the success of Amazon, but they're not coming close. I understand Amazon workers, they don't even let them go to the bathroom. They have to defecate right on the production line in the warehouse. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just a story that I heard. It's probably not true, so let's not go there. If it was, I believe the place would be shut down. Hey, boss, can I go to the bathroom? I really have to pee. Well then pee in place. Here's a cup. What? Yeah, we want to test you for your urine anyway. What the hell? Pee in the cup. But I have to do number two. All right, just go right there. I don't think they do that. I don't think that sounds right. But Amazon, so I'm watching commercials for products on TV because, you know, you're supposed to buy things online now. You know, rather than going to stores, it's for your safety and also your convenience. But I don't understand these shipping and handling charges. The shipping I get, you know, it costs money to ship something to you. I understand that. I get it. Even if Amazon delivers it in one of their white unmarked vans. What is it with Amazon with the unmarked white vans? What is that about? Why do their delivery trucks are just unmarked white vans? What, I mean, I always picture a bunch of people tied up in the back. Just like, why don't you put like a sticker on it or something that says Amazon? Why are you not even self-advertising yourself? What, are you some underground delivery system or something? What the hell is this? Are you renting all these trucks from U-Haul and it doesn't even say U-Haul on the side of the truck? What the hell's going on with this delivery thing? Anyway, I understand the shipping part of it, but the handling fees, you know, you pay an extra handling fee. What is a handling fee? And I looked it up, and the handling fee, when you buy something, it pays the person who picks the thing off the shelf and brings it to the shipping box. It's the person that walks and picks it off the shelf. That's a handling fee. Excuse me, isn't that part of the thing anyway? I mean, when you buy something, well, thank you for buying the vacuum cleaner. If you want to get the vacuum, well, you have to take it off the shelf. That's going to cost you money. Wait, I thought that was baked into the price. No, it's not. No. You have to pay for somebody to pick the item off the shelf. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah, so it's, yeah, you got to pay the person. What am I tipping them? What am I tipping them for taking it off the shelf? What are you talking about? That's a handling fee? Yeah, we had to handle the product that you just bought. What are you talking about? I ordered like a cartridge of ink for my printer. Yeah, but somebody has to pick it up off the shelf. You got to pay for that. You want me to buy the person lunch too? What are you talking? I got to pay for. Yeah, guys got to eat lunch. They got to eat lunch. You got to pay for their lunch. If you buy an item from Amazon or any place and it's like, you know, lunchtime, you got to pay for their lunch. What? Handling fee. Give me a break. Are you serious? That's like paying a prostitute to have wild, passionate sex with you. And the prostitute turns around and looks and says, well, you know, if I'm going to touch that, there's going to be a handling fee. What do you mean a hand? I thought that was part of it. No, I don't know. No, if I have to handle that thing, that's going to be a fee. But I'm paying you hundreds of dollars. I don't know how much it costs, by the way. I really don't. I'm just making this up. I've heard. Seriously, I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program. Sometimes I talk myself into corners. Have you noticed that? And by the way, how often do I have to say this? You should know by now, unless you're listening for the first time, in which case, where the hell you been? Get the kids out of the room when I'm doing this thing. Seriously, I mean, the children should not be around. They should be off playing in a cardboard box in another room. Get them out of the room, right? This is wrong. Same thing when President Trump says something. Get the kids out of the room. Don't let them hear that. You know, they don't want to hear that. That's not good for them. Get the kids out of the room when Trump's on TV. You don't want him to be an influence on your children. I guarantee you that. There's nothing he does that you want your children to mirror. I guarantee you that. I have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. You will find the guest interesting by order of the governor, and that'll be fantastic. How you doing, by the way? You feeling all right? Yeah, you're looking okay, oddly enough. Have you noticed people are looking pretty disheveled these days? They don't look good. They really do. Well, no one's getting their hair done. Nobody's putting on any makeup because there's no reason to. What most people really do is walk around the block is pretty much it. So people aren't looking that good. They're just starting to. As they're starting to filter out into society again, they're starting to look good. But everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody looks like they're about to hold up a 7-Eleven. Isn't that true? Or rob a bank, you know. How do the people in the bank know that, these customers aren't there to rob them, that they're simply protecting themselves? I don't know how you know the difference. The guy walked in the bank and he's got a mask on, he's got a scarf on, and send the police down. There's a guy, you know, I think he's about to hold up the bank. Now you don't know. They all look like they're about to hold up the bank. Or the 7-Eleven. Those are the two places that get held up all the time. Thank you very much. In our world, you know. The summer is upon us. This is Tuesday, June something. I think it's the 16th of June. We're more than halfway through the month of June. Have you noticed that time is going really fast? The more I have nothing to do, during the day, it's like, whoa, the clock's going so slow. And at the end of the day, I say to myself, where did the time go? That was a quick day. Well, you can't have both. Yeah, you can, apparently. It's very weird. The 16th of June, and soon it'll be July, and then it'll be August, and then it'll be September. Do I have to go through all the months? Yeah, I don't understand it, Dan. I don't enjoy the summer. I am not a summer person. I do not like the summer. I'm going to give you a very quick list of reasons why I don't like the summer, and you will not understand any of them because I know most people love the summer. I don't. A, I don't like to sweat. Sweating is an excretion of body fluids telling you something's not right. I'm excreting. That's A. And by the way, no one looks pretty sweating. I don't care what you say. I don't care if it's a person that, you know, you find sexually attractive. Oh my God, they're sweating. That's a turn on. No, it's not. It's a smelly excretion of body fluids. Number two, all the bugs come out in mass droves. Those freaking gnats that just buzz around your head for an hour until you go crazy. Flies that land on your face exclusively. Poor horses. Did you ever see a horse standing in a stable? My God, they don't have any hands. They can't do anything about the flies. Bees are part of the ecosystem. They're being killed off because of the chemicals that we use and the environment. They're very important. Without them, we would have big problems here. But yet when one's buzzing around my head, I freak out. My echo partner freaks me out. Pollen, holy crap. It's like someone just sprinkled yellowish-green chalk all over the place. It's disgusting. It makes me sneeze. It's horrible. It flies through the air with the greatest of ease. Pollen, summer stuff. Ugh, ugh, ugh. Everybody's outside. Go inside. Go where you belong. Stop standing around outside in the summer. It's bothering me. All the thunderstorms. Oh my God, my dog goes crazy. The slightest change in barometric pressure and my dog, like, oh, they goes nuts. The summer is not friendly to me. I don't enjoy the summer. It's odd. The winter, I don't like freezing either. Can't we just have something in between for a longer period of time? Now, some of you listening to the program live in climates where it just never snows and it never gets below like 30 degrees or something, and you think your life is wonderful. No, it's not. It's boring. You have the same climate 24/7 for your entire life. Boring. And yet, for me to pick up a snow shovel and shovel out a driveway or a car is like hell. It's hell. Mm-hmm. It is. Wouldn't it be terrible if you died and then you went to hell and they said your punishment is you have to shovel the driveway always. Oh my God, this must be hell. Yeah, it is. Yeah, or you have to mow your lawn incessantly without stopping ever. Oh my God, that's hell. Yeah, I know it is. So I don't enjoy the summer. It's just no. The trees are pretty. They look nice. But then they have the pollen coming off of it, so they just ruin it. Anyway, how you doing? If you could just put on some decent clothing for a change and stop walking around in your gym clothes. Oh my God, your t-shirt is ripped, it's wrinkled, and you don't even care anymore, do you? You don't even care. Yeah, I know. It's because no one's getting their hair done. That's why. If I get my hair done, what's the point? People walking around in clothes like they're about to run a marathon or something, or they're about to clean out a cesspool. People are just not dressing well these days. I mean, I'm no better than you are in that sense. In other senses, I'm like way better than you. But in the clothing thing, yeah, I've become very lethargic about it. I'm going commando. I thought commando was being naked. But I found out it's not. Going commando means that you're not wearing underpants or panties, whatever, or bras, you know, no underclothing. That's going commando. And I thought, well, why do soldiers not wear underpants? And the answer is kind of they don't. I guess there was a time during certain wars where they didn't wear underpants. I don't know why they didn't. I mean, I try to protect my testicles at all costs. I really do. It's really the one part of my body that cannot be in trouble. I want it protected by a Secret Service squad or a SWAT team. I mean, nothing should come close to my groin area unless you've been specifically invited for a very short period of time. Other than that, man, do you ever watch this show, America's Funniest Home Videos? It's been on forever. I'm sure you have. And that's the show where everybody gets hit in the crotch. Every guy in every little funny scene gets hit in the crotch and is bending over in pain. And the audience laughs. And I'll tell you something, that is so much not funny. If you're the guy that was hit in the balls, you doing anything but laughing at that point. And ladies, you have no concept what pain is. I know you think you got pain trying to pass a baby down that tiny little chute. I get it. I know it's probably incredibly painful. It's like your groin's being ripped open. I get it. But you really have no concept. Just as men have no concept what it's like to deliver a baby, women have no concept what it is to be hit in the testicles with a baseball bat. You cannot breathe. You have no idea how painful that is. So me walking around without any undergarment, no. It's not worth the chance. They say it's very freeing. No. I don't want to feel that free. I don't. No. That's why this 6-foot separation thing is okay, because it keeps people away from my testicles. And that's the goal. That's the goal, isn't it? In life, keep people away from your testicles. I mean, is this making you uncomfortable by any chance? This is why I told you to get rid of the kids. Get them out of the room. I don't know what's going to happen here. I'll tell you something that you probably don't know. When I do these shows that I've been doing like for about, I've been doing the podcast and radio thing for the past 7 years. Prior to that, I did radio for about 25 years. And in most cases, and certainly with the podcast, I do not write anything down. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Even when I'm talking about it, I have no idea what I'm talking about. People say that to me, Ron, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, almost. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but you're in the right ballpark. My guest is on deck, and I love my guests. They're interesting people. I try to learn something with this show. I've certainly learned not to, you know, to hire a handyman to do anything, because I can't do it well. And that handyman should always be well-dressed.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook. I am naked.
Jennifer Peterson is here. She's Workplace Solutions Expert and Vice President and members and brand at the HONON Company. Hey, thanks for being with us. This is topical information. Of course, a lot of people out of work, and those that are working, working in different places and different capacities and different locations. I guess we have to plan for these things.
Yeah, we sure do. It's a crazy time right now, isn't it?
Well, for the time being, let's hope it gets less crazy as time goes on, if people don't mess this up. That's really depends on them.
Right.
Okay. So how can companies find a happy medium between spacing, getting people back to work in a safe? I guess people have to feel safe and feel cared for in order to actually do this.
Yeah, you know, there are several things to consider here as we're thinking about getting people back into the office. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that you really have to think about is how are employees feeling right now?
Yeah.
You know, people have a lot of things running through their mind. They're worried about coming back. They've got a lot of things to focus on at home as well. So really getting a pulse on how your people are feeling to make sure they're the most productive and healthy is what I like to think of as step one. As we think about, you know, the current recommendations to space people out 6 feet, when you come back into the office, that's a little bit of a trick because the footprint just isn't that big. So there's a couple of things that we're doing at our own headquarters here in Muscatine, Iowa. We're modifying our workstations and our footprint a bit. We're doing simple things like taking seating out of meeting rooms to allow for more distance between people, or giving them their own spaces by reconfiguring a bit.
Uh-huh.
And then just rearranging common and lounge areas and making sure the traffic flow is right. All of that to promote kind of the social distancing aspect.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is really important that we're also doing, and we have some great products that we can provide in this space, is to add some barriers. And that sounds awful, right? You know, who wants to come to work with barriers between people? But really, it's adding in some freestanding screens or glass or acrylic dividers that can still let in light, or even some really cool designer-looking acoustical products that can help people feel like they have their own space still in the open environment, but at be social distanced at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. People, let's talk cubicles. I mean, those are solid walls and you're in your space. It's kind of not much different than that. It's actually better, where maybe we're talking plexiglass instead of those dividers. So, I mean, are we making more of it than it is? I mean, is it just a matter of adapting to these new things as opposed to thinking like, oh, I'm being divided? You're kind of really not.
Right. No, you know, I think it's all about really thinking about how to help your employees have the mindset that they feel like they have the space around them and that they are safe when they come back to work. And so, you know, we're not going overboard in our own office building here. We're taking some baby steps. We're actually bringing people back in a little bit of a rotation schedule to get people back in the office, learn from what we're doing, and then continue to grow and get better in this area as well.
Now, well, a lot of people will be going back to work, but maybe not as frequently as they were before physically going to an office. A lot of what they do can be done at home a couple of days a week, and we can do staggered work schedules for now. But how does one become comfortable in their own home? I've always thought this was a problem, focusing on doing your job as opposed to having the ability to watch TV or go to bed.
Yeah. It's a really good question. And I had to adjust. I hadn't been back in the office environment since March 9th. So it was a big adjustment for me individually as well. But, you know, folks that are working from home, I think it's very important, number one, to establish a routine and make sure that you're you are getting up in the morning, you're getting dressed for work, you're doing something that makes you feel like you're going to your office.
Yes.
But I think the biggest piece here, and it's a bit mind-boggling to me as I talk to my friends and I hear how people are working from home, and probably because I'm in the office furniture industry, so I'm a little biased, but, you know, promoting wellness and The right environment is very important, and getting people, the first step there is getting away from your dining room table or off of your sofa or out of your bed when you're working and into something, an ergonomic task chair or the right desk or even a height adjustable table or something that you can put on top of a counter to work at. It makes you healthier, it promotes wellness, and makes employees more productive at the end of the day.
You're absolutely right. Create your own office space at home and keep it that. Just doing it at the kitchen table with crackers in front of you is just, that's your kitchen table. So, I get that. It's funny how psychology plays into even products that you deal in products, but there's a psychology to what you do with those products. It's very interesting.
Yes, for sure. Okay. There definitely is. And, you know, people are working in, you know, maybe a small office environment at home. You know, maybe they have a tiny little space that they're trying to put things in, or even a shared space in their living room. But carving out that little bit of space is really important. And we're seeing businesses even put together corporate standards programs for their employees so they can buy a package of furniture through, you know, a certified supplier to get them set up with things. And it's more than just the things I mentioned before, where it might be monitor arms or other accessories that help them get up and go to work in the morning in their home office. And even taking during that time a break to reset and refocus, I find myself just even going out and walking around my yard to step away for a minute and then come back in, because when you're in the office, you're not in your office the entire time. You're having some other different interactions.
Correct. You're going to get a cup of coffee or whatever the case may be, but you need breaks. Very interesting. I think a lot of people are looking for your advice at this point. It really helps. It's like the feng shui of life here for now. I think it's going to be interesting because I think things are going to change anyway, but for the better. I think this is good. How did they get more information and get some guidance from you?
Yes. So we have some great resources on our website. So, hon.com, and we have a couple of spaces on our website that customers can go out and take a look at. So we have a space for work from home solutions with a planning link and a place where you can request some help to plan out a solution for your business or yourself. And also a healthy workspace solutions page on our website with a checklist and a guide. And we also have a network of trusted dealers across the country that can help as advisors in getting people back on track with moving through this new environment that we're in.
Sure. Hopefully this temporary new environment that we're in. Okay. Jennifer, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for the ideas. It stimulates people to forge ahead, and that's what we need, that mental stimulation and the products to do it with. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Ron.
Well, that'll do it for me today. And you too. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.